The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is cooking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam William Arthur, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson, although a heel turn may be coming tonight.
Oh, I knew this was a bad idea. I knew the minute that promo came out that said it was Bray versus Seth, and we were all like, oh, well, card's subject to change. And then they went with it. I was like, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. This is not what you should be doing with Bray. This isn't what you should be doing with Seth. And by God, they screwed it up. They everyone looks like a genius because everyone's like, oh, they're going to screw this up. Everyone was saying they're going to screw this up. And now everyone looks like a genius. And now, yeah, I want to turn heel. I want to swing chairs at people's heads. I guess I got to take a toolbox to someone's head. They had an unprotected chair shot hit to the head today, technically. And that's not even the...
They have had three chair shots to the head, because there's pretty sure there was two in the Becky and Sasha match, which was a very good match, and we'll get to that. That was the good of today. And in that one, like, in a way, like, I didn't hate the spot that they had there. I like the buildup of what they did before that. I know some people said it was a trash match. I didn't actually hate the match. I kind of liked what they were doing with Bray. But when all the junk was on top of him, before we get to what happened afterwards, when all the junk was on top of him, I'm like, holy crap, he's going to get up from all this, and he's going to get the greatest pop of all time. And he's going to look dominant. I still didn't know how they were going to get out of this match. I had no idea how they were going to get out of it. And that was the problem with this the entire time is... we had no way they could get out of it, and the one way we're like, well, there's no way they could do that, because they have to know, for everything that they know, that they can't be that stupid to go out that way, and how much people are going to be pissed. And they went with the DQ route, and here's the thing now. In 72 hours now, you've had two endings that your fan base doesn't like. You've had refund chance, you've had boring chance, you've had bullshit chance. But none of those, even the refund chant, does not matter compared to the AEW chant. That is the chant that is death. You will get refund chants, you will get bullshit chants. But if you're getting AEW right now, that is a chant that you do not want to get. Because now, you could have these bad situations in the past, and it could happen. But now, when something happens, and you know, you and I looked at the... you know, there's the WWE stands that come on and put that Triple H promo on when he's like, oh, I'm going to send a tweet and I'm going to send an Instagram. But me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching. And as you so elegantly put back to a retort to me when we saw that earlier, well, yeah, now him and his friend Mark aren't watching anymore. But now those people, they're not watching WWE. But now they have a competition to go to. Maybe before they'd be like, I'm mad at WWE. And then maybe 2 weeks later, they kind of come crawling back like I did at times. You know, with the backlash stuff with Roman and Joe, or after Mania this year, and I kind of take a little bit back. I kind of crawled my way back and eventually kind of got in back into it. But now, you can't just crawl right back into WWE because there's an alternative to watch that is better right now, and that makes you not really care if you miss what's happening in WWE.
And if I remember correctly, that alternative is on TNT and TSN at...
yep.
8 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Mountain Time, which you could choose to tune in. I mean, it's way more accessible than NXT and the network as a whole up in Canada, so that already helps it up here. This is, like, every bad thing that could have happened to WWE this week almost absolutely did. And I mean, we looked at that match with Roman and his knee, and it sounds like Roman's all okay, but you have to worry, what if Roman gets hurt? What if Roman blows out his knee? Then you're down Roman Reigns. And I mean, you saw the numbers for Fox, and the numbers were good from Fox,
but 3.8.
when you're spitting out product like this, those numbers are going to take a hit eventually. There's no amount of advertising in NFL football that will change bad booking. And that's what WWE is suffering from right now. And you can say they've suffered from it for the last, 20 years.
Yeah, around there. I mean, it's been up and down. I had thought, like, and, you know, I know some listeners and perhaps Mo are going to laugh when he hears this, but I had thought, like, the last 3 or so weeks that, you know, especially at times in Raw, like, you know, the booking isn't tremendous, but I'm like, it seems like they're kind of getting an idea how to do things at least reasonably. And, you know, Raw and SmackDowns and things had not been terrible. I enjoyed SummerSlam. I thought SummerSlam was a good show. I thought Clash of Champions was fine. I didn't think anything was offensively bad anymore. I thought, like, they were starting to get their act together. There'd be a few bad things, like we saw on Monday night with the Bobby Lashley thing. And it's like, that thing just seems so, like, who cares now about what that is compared to everything we've seen in the last 72 hours from them. Of just the tone deafness of what happened with Kofi, and now the tone deafness of what happened with The Fiend, of characters that you actually had people caring about. And something to keep an eye on here, too. You talked about Roman, and I do think Roman Reigns does matter as a star. I mean, he's obviously getting booze again. It's been almost a year now since he had the left to get treatment for cancer. But the one thing to keep interested, as you mentioned ratings, Joel, and who's in that main event today, is ratings and times with Seth Rollins on television. Those times, the ratings drop.
It's one of those many things where you look at and you got to take a look at and you go, I don't know what the solution is for them, because I don't know who you put the title on. I really don't. You're in such a spot where I'm not sure. I mean, you could put the title on a guy like AJ or Brian, and that's a safe and solid pick. Like, we saw tonight how good AJ Styles is and how good Daniel Bryan is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. Like, AJ, like, even after AJ got punched by Strowman and he was selling it, like,
great death, job.
And it was just like, it's just shows how multifaceted AJ Styles is. You could easily plop him into that main event and everything would be fine, but you're getting to a point now where it doesn't matter that AEW is not going head to head with Raw and SmackDown and just NXT. It's now that week's going to get compared, and they're going to analyze those numbers and they're going to look at it. And I do wonder what WWE's reaction is if the day ever comes where Monday Night Raw loses to NXT in a week. AEW, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had, you know, you and I were, I'll try to find the tweet, but Brian Alvarez had the over-unders for the ratings this week. And I took the under on everything except for NXT. I thought NXT was going to have a little bit of a bump up this week just because of the interest in Finn Balor, I figured. And, you know, they have the really good match with Kushida and Walter. And there's another good match they have on there that I can't remember. But I didn't think it would be like a solid jump. I just thought it would be up a little bit more. I didn't think they'd hit the millions. And I thought AEW, you know, they hit the 1.4. I thought, you know, I think AEW is going to kind of settle around the 1.2, 1.3. But so the Raw over-under this week is 2.45. AEW is 8,025. That's NXT, sorry. And AEW is 1.3 and SmackDown is 3.6. Like I said to you, the Raw, I'll take the under. I think it's a decent Monday Night Football game tomorrow, first of all, that you're also contributing now with people being pissed off at the booking tonight with Browns and 49ers going against them tomorrow. And I think more people are going to turn into that football game. Raw last week had the luxury of going against a football game with Steelers and Bengals that not many people really cared about. But now, you know, the AEW 1.3, I take the under. After tonight, Joel, and after SmackDown, I think I'm taking the over now.
You know, it will take AEW a very long time to surpass and get into the twos and above that. But if you constantly are basically pulling a Calgary Stampeders, throwing the football to your receiver and your receiver is dropping it and AEW's picking up the ball,
mm-hmm.
and then just running down the field, that's what you're doing right now. You're not I don't feel like you're giving AEW serious. You're not rising to the occasion with competition and showing that you are the dominant professional wrestling company. It feels like you're like, I'll be fine. We know what the fans want. We'll give it to them, and they'll be happy.
I have a question for you. So, in any way, like tonight with the two finishes we're going to talk about that I think have pissed off people with the Kofi finish and with this finish, would you have preferred not, like, I mean, one way or another, would you have just preferred the Fiend to have been pinned tonight? Do you think that would have been better off than what happened?
I'm not sure.
I almost wonder if that was better, or like maybe have like, you know, someone come help Seth attack him or something. You've done such a good job building him up, but now you've almost made him indestructible and you booked yourself into a corner with this, which is why, you know, when you sent me this, like, this shouldn't have happened because there was no good way out of this.
Yeah, you really and truly, you shouldn't have done this. You should not have put Bray in this spot, because the thing is, the match was going fine. And then when Seth is almost murdering Bray and doing the stomps, and the crowd's starting to boo, the crowd's starting to turn on the match and starting to turn on Seth. And the minute Bray pops up, he gets a babyface pop. That's a babyface reaction. And the more the match went, the more Seth behaved like a heel, and the more you had sympathy for the Fiend. Which is absurd, because when you look at the Fiend, you should have no sympathy for him. You should be terrified. Yet somehow in wrestling world, Mr. Rogers / the Fiend has sympathy. And it works. And you should have known that. And that's where you should have paired him up with other guys and had him demolish people. But
I didn't understand in that match either why Bray didn't do more offense and really attack Seth. I never felt like you should have the babyface coming up with the comeback. It was total reverse of you were waiting for Bray to have the comeback.
Oh yeah, that's the thing, and I don't know. There was no way out of this, because either Bray takes the title and then you ship Seth over to SmackDown and then let Bray do his thing on Raw, or you have Seth just keep the title. Maybe Seth turning heel is not a terrible thing. Maybe, because I mean, really and truly, Seth's kind of been a little lackluster.
Yeah.
And maybe have him do something dastardly or something. Well, but they, again, you're in Hell in a Cell, so it is supposed to be all dastardly. This is a blow off for a feud, and this is how you kick the feud off with Hell in a Cell. It was totally backwards. It was totally mismanaged. Just from the word go, you put yourself in such a corner that there's no way out of it.
Well, I mean, I look at past Hell in the Cells, right? Just stuff that comes to mind. Obviously, Mick Foley falling off the cage, chokeslam through the cage, chokeslam through thumbtacks. Never called DQ for that. And all respect to the sledgehammer shot, way more dangerous. I look at Jeff and Randy last year with a screwdriver in the frickin' ear. I look at the match that Batista and Hunter had, and I believe there was definitely a sledgehammer shot in that. I look at Cactus Jack and Triple H in Hell in a Cell. And again, Foley going through the frickin' ring because Foley's a madman. And that's why, like, if this match had never happened, yeah, if this match had never happened, then sure, whatever, maybe you can get away with it. But this is Hell in a Cell. This is why there is no such thing as disqualification in this. So you know what they're going to do tomorrow on Raw? They're going to bring the ref out and they're going to turn it around and be like, look, I made a decision because I thought Seth went too far and blah, blah, blah. That's what they'll end up doing tomorrow on Raw.
And it's just kind of weak.
It's like pathetic. It's a pathetic out.
It's a cop-out. I mean, there's a few choices on this show that I disagreed with. Like, you look at the card as a whole, and we'll have to get to the full card eventually. But this is just a sign of, again, lazy booking. And I wonder if this is Vince getting too involved, because There were pictures online that showed that fans could barely see what was going on because of the lighting.
That was another thing we didn't even get into. Like, I thought that that match was going to, like, I didn't think this match was going to end as bad as it did. I thought what we talked about, it was a fine match. They got out of it, how they got out of it, it was meh. But the lighting was an absolute disaster. And that was bad, too. I mean, some people joked, you know, that they couldn't see. There was the Virtual Boy jokes, for those that are old enough to remember a Virtual Boy. It was just really bad. And, you know, in what I thought, you know, started off as a really hot show. I really liked Sasha and Bex. I thought that was a great match. Maybe the best main roster match I've seen this year, other than maybe like Kofi and Bryan and Mania. There's not a lot to choose from, unfortunately, for the main roster, right? But I thought that was a really good starter. And this match, and then the Kofi match with Brock, just the way that it was booked, you know, you also have to know a fan base. This is a much more sophisticated fan base that is also a much more vocal fan base in your arenas and outside of the arenas and social media.
Like, yeah, you mentioned them talking about that video from Hunter of mm-hmm. him being like, oh, fans are going to go online and complain. Well, yeah, that's what any fan base does. I don't understand this logic where it's like, well, you can't critique what we're doing in wrestling. You don't understand. You're not there. People complain about TV shows. People complain about music. People complain about movies. People complain about the weather. People are going to complain. We are complaining.
People complain about their teams. As a Raider fan, I can tell you for the longest time I complained about my team. Today, I'm feeling pretty good. But there's times, a lot in the last few years, I've complained about my team. And I'm sure Chiefs fans are complaining about their team right now.
It's the thing where you're not immune to it. You can't sit there and be like, oh, all you marks are complaining. Well, we have the right to. We're the consumers. We're giving you money. If you're not delivering on a product that we want, then we have the right to complain. That's it. It's how it works. It's how it's always worked. If you went into a Costco or a Best Buy and you asked for the Bray Wyatt TV and it started off really great and then it went all buggy, you would go and complain to that the store and be like, hey, this isn't what I paid for, give me my money back, or I want a replacement for this. Just because you're not happy that you have pressure on you now and you have to deliver, because there's another product out there. It's a little store called AEW, and people can go to it. And not only that, but there's other stores that people can go to. So it's not like you're the one true king. You've got AEW, you've got New Japan, you've got Impact, you've got CMLL, you've got AAA,
MLW.
You've got Ring of Honor. You can basically throw a stick, and you can find different professional wrestling. So you have to deliver. And when you don't, you're failing your audience, and you can't get mad at your audience because you have to work to gain that audience. That's what I feel like AEW is doing, is AEW is very slowly but surely gaining their audience, building trust mm-hmm. and building a rapport that will be broken at some point. It happens all the time. But I feel like they're building towards having goodwill with their fan base. And that matters, and that's important. And I feel like this is just a long list of, well, yep, this is a WWE event because they did not deliver.
Well, look at everything AEW had before. It's like, oh, the TV's not working, and the Kenny stuff, and the truck stuff. Had the first show, we're good. Had the conference call with Cody, and we're good. Just little things that they did for the TV shows, and we're all good. And, I mean, I think a huge thing for AEW is that the NBA will be back in 2 weeks, and they're going to have promotion on NBA games on TNT. I told you, I worked a basketball tournament this week, and a lot of people that, you know, knew that I wore an NWO shirt to one of the events that I had, and this was on Friday, so everyone's like, oh, yeah, SmackDown. I saw, you know, what's going on at SmackDown, like, because everyone's been watching on the NFL, right, and they saw the promotion on the NFL stuff that Fox has been doing, and they saw the advertising for everybody. So I left that night on the Friday, and people were like, Undertaker and Hogan and Stone Cold. And keep in mind that The Rock wasn't advertised in the past Sunday, really, because they announced it on the Monday. So they're going to get maybe a little surprised that they don't really stay tuned to the audience. But, you know, some people have heard, oh, The Rock's going to be there too. And then I got to work the next day for this tournament and saw some of those fans that, you know, had not watched wrestling for a long time. And they're like, where was Hogan? Where was The Undertaker? Where was Bill Goldberg? Where was Stone Cold? And then some of them started saying, like, I went online to do some stuff, and what is this AEW? So that's kind of a start of, again, like, we talked about this stuff tonight, but you and I haven't really got a chance to talk about SmackDown. I thought SmackDown was such a letdown, and you look at the opportunity you had with the Sunday Night Football and overall the audience have been able to grab with the Fox deal that they've had on football. And all these people wanted to check out and see some of these past guys. And you promote the past to get the new generation for some people that are coming back. And you didn't deliver on that. And you made fans leave that, you know, Cody and Tony have gotten the forgotten ones, the comebackers or whatever they're calling them. And those people came back to kind of check into Fox. And they were disappointed that they didn't get the guys that were advertised.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to try to track it down, but we'll come back to it. But I swore that I saw in the Nielsen rating for Friday night that SmackDown was predominantly an older fan base. Yeah. And that's not a good sign, because you're not drawing in and making new fans. You're bringing in the old guys that aren't going to give you that 18 to 25 range.
Yeah, I mean, ratings are so interesting now too, right? I mean, it's I'm so interested how people get ratings. I wish there was some social media aspect. I mean, some streaming aspect to be getting these numbers too. I don't know where the stream is for. I know up here in Canada, I'd love to know the streaming numbers they did for AEW. If you have TSN Go on your tablet, it's on demand. It's not on demand on the Apple TV version, but it's on demand on at least the tablet version. I don't know about Roku or anything else, but on the tablet version or your mobile version, it's on demand for AEW. So I'd love to know that. It seems to be, from what I've seen and talked to some American friends, that AEW is on demand on the TNT app as well, for tablet and for Apple TV and Roku and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what SmackDown is, if it's on demand as well. So that's interesting. But, you know, the whole idea you talked about, that older number, is you bring in that older number, you showcase off some of this new talent. And I thought they did an okay job with that, but you also pissed them off by not having the older talent that they wanted to come see.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You've now turned them away because you're like, oh, we didn't get what we wanted. We wanted to hear the Glass Shack. We wanted to hear Hulkamania. We wanted to hear Goldberg. And you just didn't deliver. And that's, I mean, that goes back to this whole false advertising card subject to change. And apparently them telling Taker he wasn't needed.
Bad decision. I mean, I think as far as the Fox show goes, that wasn't a day for card subject to change, because people were tuning in specifically for those people. I had told a few people that Flair and Hogan were on Raw. These were older fans. And, you know, we can say whatever we want to say about seeing them too much, but for some people, it matters for them to see Flair and Hogan on television. It was a draw for them to know that they were on television. And, you know, there was people that had not seen Hulk Hogan. There was a few people that I had talked to on Friday that were ready to forgive Hulk Hogan and watch him be in wrestling again. And they didn't deliver on that. And not having Austin too. Like, you know what? Like, you know, you had the thing with Trish and Lita were in the crowd. At least, I mean, do that for Goldberg. I think maybe they did that for Goldberg.
You're saying it's to Mark.
Mark, right. Okay. But, like, how do you not have, you just cannot promote Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker and not have them there. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. You set yourself up to put yourself in a place where you just, you mismanaged your time. You mismanaged, just like, some of the matches on SmackDown were pointless. And I gotta say, the ending was crap.
Yeah,
Here's the thing. If you gave 10 minutes where Kofi was fighting and battling and battling and battling, and one of the more protected finishers in WWE right now is Trouble in Paradise, and he finally hits it, and he crawls over, and he gets the 1-2, and Brock kicks out and locks in the Kimura, and that's how Kofi loses. Then it's at least it's competitive, and then the last 5 minutes can be dedicated to Kane Velasquez coming down and staring down Brock. And then you can have that. You still have enough time for that moment. You gave Kofi, hey, you did a good job. Thank you for what you've done. Here's 10 minutes with Brock, where you look like you had a chance. That's it. That's all I think people wanted from that. Everyone knew Brock was winning. So just give us a moment where you think Kofi can win and then take it away. And then that's that.
Like the way that they made Kofi's job, I laughed very hard of it. First of all, number one, I just kept looking at the time too. I'm like, how do they have time to do whatever they're going to do? And is the Undertaker coming out or whatever still? Right. And I thought it was a pretty successful title run for Kofi. But, you know, at least let him have, at least hit a Trouble in Paradise or something, you know, just to, you know, have this great title run, a great story with Kofi, minor okay feud. Like, I want to say, like, it was a Rey Mysterio title run. I thought the feud with Randy was okay. It was fine. And then just to add it like that, because you got the bigger star in Kane Velasquez and you need to go with that. And look, I'm a fan of MMA. I'm a fan of boxing. I don't really give, pardon my language, I don't give a fuck about Tyson Fury or Kane Velasquez having these individual matches. I could give two shits.
Like, here's the thing. Tyson Fury thing should be at Mania. Mm-hmm. It should be at Mania, and that's where you should be going with it. But instead, you're going to do it at Saudi. No one's really going to see it. And then you move on. The Kane Velasquez is... He's decent. Like he can actually kind of wrestle. He was in AAA and he was doing stuff there. Man, just that should be saved and that should be built for later on. And you should build towards it, but you shouldn't have the title on the line. Velasquez should not be challenging for the title right away. I think there are a lot of missteps and I'm very interested. Apparently Raw is going to be a showcase for the draft. So we're going to get a bunch of matches that aren't going to mean anything. And then the draft will happen. And then I think everything resets from there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, is the plan just to have him come in and Brock beat him just for the sheer amusement of Brock to say that he finally beat Kane? Is that the whole point of this?
It's such a mistake. It's such a dumb choice. I don't know, man. If that's the case, this is even more dumb.
Yeah, it's just more of the same. And look, I'm someone that defends Brock Lesnar. I think he's a very good talent to have. I think Brock can put on really good matches, which makes the end of the Kofi match even more disappointing because it's Brock's first time wrestling on television since he's returned to the company overall. And I thought, you know, he could have had a nice match with Kofi.
Yeah, I do too.
So it's very disappointing that he didn't get that. Anyways, so that's kind of where we are. Look, I'm not going to cancel my network subscription. I'm not going to, you know, send out an angry tweet. I think the tweets actually you and I sent were very well laced out, to be honest. Just of like, look, that was a bad finish. You can't be having these bad finishes anymore because there's just too much competition to knock you off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, I mean, I know, like, New Japan, like, we're getting ready to get to the Tokyo Dome here in the next 3 months. And we have two Tokyo Dome shows. There's a lot of great talent on there. AEW has a pay-per-view coming up in a month here. And for WWE, you're now going with this Team Hogan and Team Flair. Like I said, there is a lot of people that seem to be ready to see Hulk Hogan again or excited for Hulk Hogan again. There's still people that hate Hulk Hogan. And the idea of him going to Saudi Arabia is already going to add a bunch of stuff as well. Them going to Saudi Arabia is going to add a bunch of stuff. So, you know, you can make this Saudi Arabia show seem like a WrestleMania. There's still going to be people that's going to lead to negative press for this show. So that's why Hell in a Cell, all you had to do is not totally mess up and get totally messed up at the end. But let's kind of talk about really quickly this card. Did you watch the kickoff at all? I didn't. I was watching Cowboys and Packers.
I caught the very tail end of Natty. Natty win and then punch Lacey at the end, and that was it.
Right. And then nothing else really exciting. I mean, the problem with this show is that they didn't really have like a lot of. I mean, for all like the lack of match stuff that was in this before, like Charlotte and Bayley happened, I was completely fine with what we had so far.
It was decent. Like the beginning part, like Becky and Sasha were great. What was the next match after that? That was Roman.
I think it was the Roman. Which I enjoyed as well.
That was a potato fest. That was some stiff. They took some beatings. Brian looked like he stumbled heading up the ramp, and there's been no reports on that, but that'll be interesting to see what if there's anything that comes from that. But I thought those two were really solid matches. And that's the thing where you started the show off and it's like, okay, all right. I can get behind this. This is actually half decent. I think that this is what we wanted. This is a decent show. It came together at the last minute, but they got it going.
Yeah, and I thought I didn't particularly like the fact that they made what's his name? Luke Harper lose. I would have liked Luke Harper to have got a win a little bit more, but I thought for the most part, you know, it was a really good match that they had. I thought Brian looked great. You brought this up earlier. I thought Brian and I thought AJ both looked really good today in the spots. I thought AJ in the little bit that he had with Braun, I thought it's like, man, he's so talented. Why are we having him in this match? Like just, I actually kind of left that match not wanting to see Braun and Tyson Fury. I wanted to see a match with AJ and Braun.
I think so, like AJ could have an, and I'd love to see AJ just eke out a win.
Mm-hmm.
Just that. I think that would be a lot of fun. Becky and Sasha were incredibly creative with the spots that they had in their mm-hmm. match. So it was a good start. There were a couple shots to the head. There was one with a kendo stick where I believe Becky was laying in on Sasha. And I'm like, I think she just clocked her in the back of the head. That's not good. And there were a few points where there was some stiff shots thrown back and forth. But I thought it was a good match. I'm a little surprised Lynch won. I thought Sasha was getting the win, but I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I thought, I don't really know where they're going. It just, I thought, I guess because we both thought that Bex was going to SmackDown with the draft, and I guess she could. I mean, knowing the logic we've seen from the way this Fiend match ended, excuse me, the way the Fiend match ended, and the way that the Kofi match was booked, maybe that's a situation, but I guess we'll see where Becky goes in the draft. I'm assuming she'll stay on Raw, but that's kind of what I thought was going to happen, is that Becky loses the title to Sasha, and now even with Charlotte winning, it almost makes more sense. You can set up a rematch between those two. Not that, I mean, I think you and I are kind of in agreement. I kind of want to break some of these horsewomen matches for him. I'm fine with one more Becky and Sasha match. But just because, you know, one more, whatever, you've had the DQ. I mean, she did tap. You can end it with that with Sasha, sure. I want to win one more match of that. But I kind of want the horsewoman to be separated for a while because I just feel like it's been overdone now.
Yeah, I think it's time to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then the show kind of went downhill a little bit. Like, I thought it was okay. Like, it was a slow decline. Like, Randy took on Ali with no build. I thought Ali should have got the win here, but he got a creative RKO spot where he managed to do a handstand out of the RKO, and then he still ate the RKO, which I thought was cool. But I wanted Ali to get a win.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, not going to get into it, just with some of the stuff from the Randy Orton stream this week too. I thought maybe he'd get a punishment at least in the way of a loss, but they didn't seem to do that. Yeah, apparently Randy's bulletproof. He can talk about AEW and other unnecessary things, but he can still walk away with a W out of it. And I mean, I guess the reason for that is, I guess Randy is technically the captain of Team Flair, so they want to keep that strong.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a big factor in all this too. That
matters. I think that's the next feud, by the way. Like, for all the people that booed tonight, you're not getting a rematch of The Fiend and Seth. I think The Fiend's going away for a while now, and the next feud is Randy and Seth. That's the next feud.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yep. Like, soak it in. The worst part about the Hell in a Cell thing is it was advertisement to sink you in to watch the pay-per-view tonight and to go to the show, because it was The Fiend, the hottest character in the company, inside of a Hell in a Cell. They're not going to revisit that for a long time. Maybe WrestleMania. I doubt it, because I think that's Roman. I don't know where The Fiend goes. You and I had this whole thing where we thought it was going to be Finn, and now Finn's got his way back to NXT, and I don't think he wants to look at that main roster ever again. So before we get to these next matches, do you have any idea what's next for The Fiend?
I think he's going to disappear he stood tall at the end of the pay-per-view, so he can't really disappear. It's not like he was beaten and broken and has to rebuild himself. He stood tall. He looked dominant. He took everything Seth did and was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really write him off TV. That's the weird thing. So I don't know. I don't know where they go. Maybe The Fiend is just... The Fiend's going to be a normalized character that's just not going to stand out anymore or be anything special.
Like, I think he can get himself back, but like, this was definitely a big hit. Well, I don't even think it was a hit to the character. Like, you know, people are saying like, oh, this was terrible booking against The Fiend. I don't even know if it's terrible booking against The Fiend. I think The Fiend character will be okay. I think it was bad for Seth. Yeah, thank you. Like, I think it made Seth look like a freaking idiot. And I just think it made the viewer look like an idiot. I don't think it did anything to Bray Wyatt. The next time The Fiend pops up, everyone's going to go crazy. So I don't think it hurts The Fiend character the way the match ended, but it hurt Seth more, and it hurt the audience. That's who got hurt in that match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, I mean, if The Fiend just pops up on TV tomorrow, everyone's going to go crazy. No one's going to have a lukewarm reception. In fact, if anything, the people like The Fiend more now. If anything, that's done out of this, that's the ironic part about it that Vince and them are probably chuckling about. It's like, ha-ha, goddamn, we got them all over, ha-ha.
Yeah, and they're like, this was a win.
Yeah, so, but not really. It's not a win for you guys. It's a definite L. But yeah, so Randy and Ali, I thought that was fine. And now, yeah, Randy will get ready to lead Team Flair now. What's next?
Next is for the WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, it's Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defending against the returning Kabuki Warriors. That mist was perfect. And what was even better... What was even better was walking the plank and then Kairi Sane doing the eye poke and then doing the walking the plank. That was great. I loved it. Apparently, that was supposed to be a heel turn for the Kabuki Warriors. I didn't feel like they were heels. I was quite happy with the win.
Well, I mean, the Nikki and the Bliss tag team was fine. It was fine. I never thought, like, it really, you know, got to the place they wanted it to be. I'm guessing they're just going to have Alexa just turn on her tomorrow on Raw. And then they'll just... I think Bliss is going to SmackDown, to be honest.
No, this will somehow be some convoluted storyline where Nikki will turn heel and they'll keep Bliss as the baby. It'll be... I have zero faith they know what they're doing.
Would you think that Bliss is going to SmackDown, though, and Nikki staying on Raw?
Yeah, I think they're going to split them up.
Yeah, I think they look at Bliss as one of the top stars, And I think we know that SmackDown's about to get loaded. I look at another reason the Fiend lost is because Fox wanted him. And that maybe he's going to SmackDown.
So does it mean he's going to feud with Brock?
I guess.
Or Kane Velasquez?
That would be something he can... If Kane Velasquez can get Psycho Clown to come out with him, though, then I'm all in.
That just adds a whole new wrinkle.
Yeah, so that... I mean, I'm happy the Kabuki Warriors have it. I just don't know, like... The women tag match titles are a fantastic idea in theory. The unfortunate thing is, who are the Kabuki Warriors going to have these awesome tag matches with? Because, I mean, Brian Alvarez said, like, arguably they are the most talented tag team men or women in the WWE now. And I'm like, yep, they may be, as I forgot who the SmackDown tag champions were. Do you know who they are?
Isn't it the Revival?
Yep.
They're a Raw tag team that has the SmackDown tag titles.
They haven't been on TV for like 3 weeks. Since they won the title, I think. And so that's probably the most talented team, in all fairness.
I think you're right.
And just to remind everyone, who's my favorite tag team in wrestling, Joel?
I don't know, actually.
It's the Revival.
Well, I wonder how much longer they have on their contracts.
Scott Dawson's right after the match said, "I sure love being a pro wrestler." I think the best tweet tonight was probably the Bucks, Matt Jackson, being like, "Hey, we're live Wednesday and AEW Dynamite."
Just something simple and easy.
They'll just feed into it, man, and why the hell not? I like that they have the titles. I think you like that they have the titles. They deserve the titles. I love the Mist. I hate the theme music. But who were they feuding with?
I honestly don't know. I don't know where they go from here.
That's the problem with these titles is I don't know who the feud is with because there's no other good... The Iconics, I guess. I think these titles, much like the Cruiserweight titles, have to go to NXT.
Yeah.
That's the best
thing you would have. Asuka and Kairi Sane down to NXT, I won't complain.
No, and then you could do like a tag versus Deonna is her name? Marty's ex-girlfriend. Deonna and Chelsea Green. I'm all in for those matches. Give me those. Put those into my veins. Or, you know, like even like, you know, they're green as hell, but the other horsewomen, I'm interested in what that can be.
Yeah.
But give me
Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox.
Ooh, yes. I will see. Yeah, these titles need to go to NXT.
Yeah,
these titles need to go to NXT.
I think there's more that can be done there.
Yeah, and then I think you're at the perfect limit for NXT for titles, right? Because then you have your world title, you have your secondary title, you have your tag, you have your women's tag, and you have the cruiserweight.
Perfect amount of titles. The NXT cruiserweight title. Yep. So. Oh, 205 live.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think it's in a better place now.
Yes, absolutely. And now we get to the point where I think things kind of started to dip for the card. Yeah. We have the Viking Raiders and a mystery partner taking on the OC, AJ, Luke, Carl Anderson. And it was Braun Strowman that was his partner. It was an all right match. AJ's sell at the end of taking the fist was fantastic. And him being like, "Where am I? What's going on? What's happening?" Just an excellent sell. I don't know if you should be selling a concussion, especially in this day and age, but AJ did it very well. I don't know. It's just, I'm getting tired of seeing the OC just constantly lose. It's like they have no idea what to do. Yeah.
Like the build was good, but then what's going on now with them? I just don't. Like, even the stuff with the tag titles, it's like, they gave them to Seth and Braun for no reason, and then they gave them to Bobby and Dolph, and I kind of am warming up to that team a little bit, but I think they would be much better on the OC, especially since the feud seems to be the OC versus the Viking Raiders, not Dolph and Bobby versus the Viking Raiders.
Yeah. That should be the Viking Raiders focus, but it's just... Another misstep within this company. Strowman's clearly gonna. Is he gonna beat Fury?
I don't think so.
So they you're killing off Strowman, and I don't know. Then he's gonna beat AJ, and then AJ will go off and do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, it showed tonight. It showed again how talented AJ and Brian are, and I think I would really hope that they have a meeting of the minds before this draft and really think up everything, because this is definitely a restart for them now in many ways. Like, the one thing that knocked me away from the product for the longest time was the wild card rule. The episode that happened, I didn't watch the project till SummerSlam. I watched the G1, which was freaking awesome, and that's going to be really hard when we do our year in reviews to pick a show of the year, because it's going to be something from the G1, and I don't know how we're going to do that. But the G1 brought me back into wrestling. It wasn't anything WWE really did. It's just seeing the booking got a little bit better up until SummerSlam. And then now we have what we have now. But, you know, as far as guys like AJ and Brian, you have to look at guys like that and Chad Gable, which it seems like maybe they're getting the idea there that
The one thing, and that's the next match, is Gable versus Corbin, and Gable won. I'm not a fan of Shorty Gable, and I believe that's what they announced the winner was Shorty Gable. Not a fan of it, but Gable, it seems like every time he wrestles, he wins the crowd over. Every time he's in that ring wrestling a match, he wins the crowd over, and he gets a decent reaction when he wins. So I think you just got to keep going with it. You just got to keep building Gable up.
Yeah,
and
the beatdown was
what it was afterwards.
I'm fine with it. It's pro wrestling. Stuff like that happens. I actually like this feud. I like the Corbin and I like the Gable feud. I don't like all the Shorty stuff. It's a little bit much, but I think it's been much improvement on Gable, on Corbin. I think it's showing a light onto Cable. I thought the Corbin came out of that rock thing and he handled himself. He went one-on-one with the Great One and came out okay on the other side. The STD chat getting over is just like, what the hell can Rocky not get over? Like, come on.
I honestly don't know. People have their opinions on Rock. Some people love him. Some people hate him. Some people say his stick has grown old. At the end of the day, when you hear that music hit, you get goosebumps. When he starts talking, you get goosebumps, and you're just all in on Rocky. Just incredible talent. Now, King Corbin will have an STD chant that will follow him everywhere, and there is no medication to get rid of it.
What chant that got over from The Rock were you the most surprised at? STG or Creepy Little Bastard for CLB for Christian? Because CLB was over for a little bit.
Was that? I thought that was Austin that called him that.
I think it was it Austin or was it Rock?
I think it was Austin.
Maybe it was Austin. Okay, you know what? I think you're right. There was something that Rocky had for Christian. I can't remember what it was. No, because wasn't the fact that he had the edge heads and then he had the CLBs?
I'm not sure. It could have been Rocky.
You may be right. It's one of the two.
Just speaks to how talented they are.
Yeah. I mean, and you've seen that too. I think that's the thing that's a real problem is even Hogan on Monday. I know you're a lot more lukewarm than Hogan, but just what Hogan and Flair were able to do on Raw in that 3-minute span of making the crowd want them to have a match was unbelievable. And shows like how good those guys are doing that, and why can't anyone in the new main roster do that?
Oh, we go in a long conversation why that happened, but
I know it just wasn't crazy though, like how those guys convinced everybody into wanting them to have a match, and still how Hogan and Flair still have the control of the mic, and then you just saw what Rock had, and I got to give credit to Becky and to Corbin about having the ability to hang in there, because you know. It's not a lot of people that could do that. And I thought Corbin played the perfect anchor to get knocked by The Rock in that situation. There's still only two people I've ever seen that really have been able to go toe-to-toe with The Rock, and that's Steve Austin and Phil Brooks. But, hey, good on Corbin. He did a very good job.
Yeah, he played his role perfectly.
I'm warming up to Corbin. I think like he was a shoo-in to win my worst wrestler of the year this year, and there's not a chance he's getting that from me now. I think these past... the month away, and then the King of the Ring tournament and everything afterwards since, including falling out of the chair on Monday, I think Corbin has really reaffirmed himself as a unique and properly used talent in the company right now for me.
Now, if they could just figure out how to use everyone else.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so the 24/7 title was defended in a total of 5 seconds, and R-Truth is now a 20-time European TV 24/84 champion. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, that's more important to me than, I find that more impressive than Charlotte's 10.
Yeah, and that was the last match we had to get to, with Charlotte beat Bayley via submission.
Yeah, so,
they need fresh matchups. They desperately need fresh matchups in this women's division, and I don't know where they're going to get them. I don't know how they're going to get them or where they're going to go to get them.
Well, I mean, the women's division in NXT has a lot of great talent, right? I mean, I think Candice and Charlotte could be a really good match. What is Charlotte now? Is she a heel? Is she a tweener? I don't know what Charlotte is. I mean, I think her and Candice could be good. I'd be interested to see what
Charlotte and Kairi could be.
Her and Kairi could be good. I would love to see. I mean, every time Asuka and her get in the ring, they're really good. But now those two are just matches we can't have. Io Shirai. I think those two could have a dynamite match. Maybe that's the next match. Maybe Io is going on the main roster after this. As far as this draft goes, do we see any NXT talent, quote unquote, going up? I don't even know if it's going up anymore, but do you see any NXT talent transferring to SmackDown or Raw? I can only think of a handful. I could see Io.
I could see them putting Johnny Gargano on Raw or SmackDown. Just because of him saying he's NXT for life, just being like, you think you're NXT for life? I'll show you, pal.
Right. I don't know if about Johnny, but I see your reasoning. If I had to pick two, I would say Io and Dream.
Yeah.
Dream hasn't really been on TV lately. I know he wants the rematch against Roddy. Probably get that. And there's just so much NXT talent they have to showcase off, and you got to wonder if anyone's coming down as well. I mean, now the Fins came down. I don't know what the future of KO is. I mean, I know he's staying in SmackDown for now, or Raw, or whatever. But do you see a situation where they could still have KO go there? Could Nakamura go thereafter? That part's going to be interesting, of where the talent fluctuates between NXT and whatnot. And really, I think it's more on the women's side that we were talking about. Like, you know, you talked about Dakota Kai, Tegan Nox. Who is the next? I mean, it could be Naomi. I know she's apparently on way to be back in the company, and at least that's a fresh matchup with Naomi and Charlotte.
Yeah, this is one thing this company needs, is fresh matchups.
Like, because it's just been a rotating thing of Becky, Charlotte, Bailey, of just the horsewomen going around. And look, all four women are unbelievably talented, but we need something else to happen in this women's division. Other than just, like, I would love Dana Brooke to get an opportunity. I think she's been busting her ass, and I love the story they could tell about Dana slowly improving.
Yeah, you've got that. You could do something with
Liv Morgan.
Iconics, Liv Morgan. When Ruby gets back, that's a big one. There's so many different people that you could do stuff with. It's just a matter of just almost growing a set and just letting some of these women rise to the occasion and either sink or swim.
Yeah. They need something. No, I mean, it could just be a Bayley rematch for all we know. I mean, I was going to say maybe at the next show. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. They can't wrestle at the next pay-per-view.
Why is that, Josh?
We're not getting into that. But we're not going to... Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're not going to get into that. So... I'm going to ask you, what do you give this show out of 10?
If before the Seth and Bray match, I thought it was somewhere like a 6.8, hovering towards a 7. I had enjoyed this, watching this with the Chiefs and Colts game tonight. I thought it was perfectly fine entertainment. I really liked Bex and Sasha. That's like a 4.5 match for me. It's one of the best main roster matches I've seen. I thought it blew away the Charlotte and Sasha Hell in the Cell they had. I thought it was really well done. But now, you know, I've had some time away, let the smoke, the dust settle, and that ending is just unbelievably bad. I got to give it a 5.5.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 3.
Wow.
I just, the ending is just illogical. It's dumb.
Well, you know what? I will jump it to a 4 because John Pollock brought up this point. And I think it rings true. You can't have average shows nowadays. Just can't. No. This is an average show. You cannot have an average show. So I'm going to go by that saying going forward here. An average show does not get you 5 out of 10. Because an average show is like a very good night of the G1. There's just too much good wrestling now that you can just have an average show. Like AEW had an average show for their home opener. It wasn't a blowaway show. It was a nice, great, slow build of a show. And that was like a 7.5 out of 10 for me. But they did everything they needed to do logically. And for it being an opening show, it's probably like a 9 out of 10 because they knew what they were doing. On this show, it was like, this was the biggest week in WWE in what would you say, 20 years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And in 72 hours, you just took down your pants and took a shit. Yep. And just left it in the middle of the road and just
walked away. You
could just walk away from it, but. No, you just can't now because there's just it's not just AEW. It's New Japan. We don't know like I don't want to be surprised if Bound for Glory is going to be better than anything WWE puts on this week. Now at this point, I'm ready to see Ken Shamrock. Give me Ken Shamrock. I want this Ken Shamrock and Moose match so much. I'm so excited for it. Didn't know about it till a week ago, and now I'm so excited about it. And apparently the build for Sami Callihan and Brian Cage has been really good from talking to a few people.
I again, that's where competition's getting thick. You're gonna have to deliver.
And but, also like just the last thing, and you know, the fact too that the Saudi show is on a Thursday on Halloween, so you're gonna have some competitors that aren't there for Halloween, can't be with their children on Halloween because they have to go to the Saudi Arabia show. And yes, I get it. That's part of the business, yada, yada, yada. But they're going to be competing on the Saudi show on Halloween, and SmackDown's the next night, and a handful of them are going to do the Saudi show and get back on a plane and then go to SmackDown the next night is just tone deaf.
Oh, yeah. 100% tone deaf.
Union. Someone will get injured. Someone is going to get injured. I don't want to root for an injury, but someone's going to get injured that way.
And it will rest solely on Vince's head. Last thing, and then I think you'll definitely want to get out of there. So, you know how the next pay per view is the Saudi show, and we don't really care about the Saudi show, do we, Josh?
You're not gonna watch it. I take the bullet and watch it. I'm not interested about the Fury match. I could give two shits about it. I have a minor intrigue, I guess, in the Cain Velasquez and Brock aspect of it all. Even though I know how it's going to end. It's just kind of like we watched the Goldberg Chronicle tonight and watching the Taker build up. I'm like, I didn't want to watch the show, but I was intrigued for Goldberg and Taker because I'm like, this is something I kind of want to see. I haven't seen Cain Velasquez wrestle yet, and I've heard he's not bad. So I'm interested in that, and I'm kind of, but it's more tone deafness of that show of you have a Survivor Series match and then 3 weeks later you have Survivor Series. So how am I supposed to care about Survivor Series when you have a match with two of the biggest stars in the history of the business having teams? That would have been much more logical for Survivor Series.
Well, see, and that's the next pay-per-view, and usually they do champion versus champion. So, Josh, we're getting the original matchup of Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins.
Oh, fuck off.
Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We've never seen those matchups before, right? Right?
Well, or could we be getting Seth Rollins versus Cain Velasquez?
I don't know. I could see them wanting to give Brock back his win.
Or could Brock beat Cain Velasquez, then lose to The Fiend, and then you get The Fiend and Seth rematch at Survivor Series.
But it has to be in red. It absolutely has to be all red, everything.
Yeah. Maybe blue next time for the Sasha match. Can we just do it all in blue?
She is the blueprint, after all.
Mm-hmm. Her versus Matt Morgan for the rights on a pole.
If Mo, who has been on the show, sent me a message, and one of his comments was, I think he's joking, but he's like, I do wonder if Vince Russo's back booking things, but we haven't had a pole match yet, so we're okay.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a... I think we're ready for a pole match. Like, let's do this. Let's get this pole match going.
I'm checking out. That'll be the next paper. Eventually, they're going to have a pay-per-view where it'll be on a pole. That'll be the title of paper.
If I would have told you this week, there's four WWE shows. Obviously, NXT was going to be the best of them, right? But the second best show this week would have been Raw. Would you have believed me?
No, because I thought it would have been SmackDown.
Yeah.
I had no hope for this pay-per-view. It took them till today to announce half the card. So I knew this show was in trouble. But SmackDown was so underwhelming.
Why did we get excited that Bischoff was in charge of SmackDown again?
I don't know if it was excitement on my end. It was like, oh, wow.
I was excited for Heyman, except for his cucking angles. Like, he obviously got something going on in his personal life that he's going with these cucking angles. But, sure. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of interested in this. I'm sadistic, and when we get to the worst of, it's going to be stuff that I will put worst of that I've slightly enjoyed. Like, I've weirdly enjoyed the Maria stuff at points this year. And I'm at least curiously interested in the Bobby Lashley and Lana thing. Because it's some of the sleazy wrestling stuff like that that I do enjoy if it's done well. But I think, again, you have to be careful with this shit now, because there's not really a place for it in today's landscape. Because wrestling isn't really the soap opera that it used to be. You can still have the soap opera entertaining elements in it, but today's customer isn't looking for the soap opera as much as they're looking for the athleticism in wrestling now.
Yeah, absolutely. Abso-frickin-lutely.
And that's the problem when you have these talented wrestlers in New Japan and AEW particularly, and you have arguably better talent that can match them on yours, but you're not delivering, that's a problem. Like, you know, you look at the top three talents in each company really quickly here for a small debate, Joel. Top three talents in each company. Let's go with New Japan. So we're going to go with Okada. We're going to go with Naito. And then what, Ibushi now?
Yeah.
Ahead of Tanahashi.
Yeah, you could sub Naito out with Jay White if you wanted.
Sure. Or Tanahashi. Sure. But, yeah, so we'll just go with those three for now, right? Because those three are probably going to be the three that are involved in the main event of the Tokyo Dome this year.
Yeah.
AEW's three most talented competitors right now, as far as single competitors go, unless you want to put the Bucks into one, Kenny Omega.
Yep.
I would say Pac right now.
Yep. And Marco Stunt.
And then let's, who would you say was the third?
I'd say it's Cody.
Cody, cool.
Or Jericho.
Or Jericho. And then the WWE, I mean, if you include NXT, like, it's hard. Not that it's not hard in Japan.
Brian, AJ. Cole?
Bebe, yeah. That's maybe the better three in some circumstances at their pinnacle.
I think Okada tips the scales.
Yeah. It Okada probably is Japan. Really?
Pardon?
I mean, I said Japan probably wins that, but WWE has talent they can have, and it's just like, we're getting Walter and Kushida this week. That's unbelievable. Well, I never thought I would see that.
Josh, I got to correct you. The U.S. is getting Walter and Kushida this week.
I have that now. I get to see that. I have a way to see that now, personally.
I'm not happy. I will tell you, I tuned in for SmackDown, and they were airing the condensed one-hour version of the highlights of NXT, and I flipped to Fox right away. I was like, I'm watching this on Fox. I'm still majorly annoyed with this. Just put it on the network for Canadians. Yeah. It's not hard to have it set for Canadians to get the net to, or put it on Sportsnet 360. Just give me something.
Well, I mean, or, you have the Sportsnet app. We've seen with the app. We've seen on the app for Sportsnet now, when SmackDown's been, you know, if hockey takes it over or something else takes it over, a Raptors game, for example, they just put it on the app and they put it on the extra section. Just do that for NXT. No one's going to have a problem with that.
Nope. The Canadians would love that. I'd be happy. I'd be over the moon.
Because Walter and Kushida is a match that a lot of people want to watch. I can't remember what the AEW match is this week. I'm more interested in the AEW show as a whole. But as far as matches coming up, I am really excited for Kushida and Walter.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal.
I mean, about a month ago, we were terrified that Kushida was done and it was in 205 Live. And here we are getting ready to see him versus Walter.
How funny how things turn around.
It is. Thank goodness the Hunter saved us from that, at least. But, yeah, so this is, I mean, the title of this podcast is easily is something about falling from grace in 24 hours. 72-hour face plant or something like that, because...
Oh, I've already got the title. It's a surprise.
Okay. 72 hours, and you went from having WWE and wrestling fans at least interested in your product again to see what you could do with Fox and everything like that. You know, some people were already out, to you're going to come to Monday and you're going to get the tough NFL game. That's going to be a tough rating for them. What do you think the rating is for Monday? I think it's 2.1.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think it's 2.1 or 2.2.
Yeah, it's a, you're going in, people are pissed off of you. There's too much wrestling on TV now. First of all, people are going to be selective. You're going again. You're going against a phenomenal game with an undefeated Niners team and a Browns team that people are very excited for, and a big market in the Bay Area for San Francisco. So, yeah, and I don't know what's making you watch Raw tomorrow.
The sick joy I get out of watching a car wreck in person.
I guess
that's what's probably going to be.
Well, that the car wreck is what happened with Bobby Lashley and Lana. I guess that's the draw tomorrow. I guess. Or how they get out of this Finn and Fiend theme or something. I don't know. It's not really a draw. I'll be watching football tomorrow. I'll be watching WWE on YouTube. So I'll be watching it.
All right. To go.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to this Sunday night edition. We'll be back with the recap of the week on what, Saturday, Joel, hopefully?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So everyone, make sure you check out all the great podcasts on We Talk, on Stick Boy, and my network, Fresh Take Network. We have NFL stuff coming for you tomorrow, and NBA stuff as the season gets previewed. And we have our NHL preview coming up. So make sure you check out all that and all the great stuff that we have here on We Talk Podcasts. Until next time. Oh, and thanks to everyone. Thanks to Mo and all the guys. Just got to give a shout out. The phenomenal job as the site continues to grow and to what it is now. Just a shout to Mo and everyone for giving us the ability to do podcasts like this and make the site look as awesome as it has.
Mo's killed it. Absolutely killed it.
It's been phenomenal. So just fantastic. And there's some other exciting features that I'm not going to get into because they're not done yet. But I'm really excited for with everything that they've done. I'm very appreciative of letting us have a home here to, you know, have the One Fall Podcast, have Joel Stickboy, and have my Fresh Take Network. So until next time, everyone, cheers.
Same old, same old.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And good night. Bang.